So if you would please, turn to the book of Jude, J-U-D-E. It's the one before Revelation. And it's interesting because I know it would really upset certain people to know that Jesus actually had other brothers in his family. He wasn't the only kid growing up. Jude was one of his brothers, and James, one of the other Jameses, was his brother as well in the natural sense. And Jude was as well. And I really sense today was a good day for this portion of Scripture because it has to do with the body of Christ. And since we're part of that, we can glean some things out of this that'll be beneficial to us. I started in verse 17 and went down through 25. It's hard sometimes to just pick one verse when sometimes portions are so interconnected. And verse 17 says, "But beloved," oh, isn't that a term of endearment? It's hard to keep reading when you come across words like that because this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord calls us beloved. Beloved, beloved. "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit. "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." So let's break this down a little bit. We're not living in strange days in the sense of any of us that have read the Scriptures and reasonably learned. I know a lot of us, me in particular, I wanted to find out how the story ended because having never had a Bible and never grew up in a faith community, I had to find out how it was all going to turn out, and I found out, wow, there really is hope. But also along with that, there are times that we are seeing and may see more of this particular time, this span of time that he's talking about, where we're really seeing, I believe now, a separation spiritually of those who are moved by their flesh, their feelings, their sense realm, because that's all they have. Sometimes we forget we've been saved a long time, a lot of us, and sometimes we forget how limited that the unsaved are, but they have nothing but their feelings and their emotions. And how crippling, I don't like to use that word, but it holds them back from experiencing so much life that's available. And I was one who walked in darkness too, and I didn't know that this life even existed to the extent that I do now. And so, but I do know that there's a great division now coming between the godless and the God-fearing. And it seems like it's coming at an accelerated speed all of a sudden. Or maybe I'm just being more aware of it. But it seems like things are, all of a sudden, things are in like hyperspeed, coming to some particular point in our near future. And so I found this to be of a timely manner, just to bring it and share it to remind us that we should not be caught unaware of the times we're living in, we could consider ourselves very privileged, actually, to witness the things that were written thousands of years ago, and we're seeing some of them fulfilled in our lifetime, in our generation. And I know people of our grandparents' generation who thought that that was when the Lord was going to return, you know, because they saw things in their generation. But we have this one for ourselves. And there's quite a difference about mockers who should walk after their own ungodly lust. But like I said, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. I mean, I believe they know what they're doing, but they're doing it with intent and with purpose to try to thwart us, discourage us, hold us down, hold us back, hinder the work of the gospel. But they don't know them, and they don't know whose tree they're barking up. And it's not going to go well. They can continue on this lifestyle, and they will for a period of time. But like me, I get caught in the net of the Holy Ghost. He knows where the fish are, and he knows. So be of good courage, all those that you've sown seeds into with your faith and the message of hope of the gospel. But also be aware that on the other side of that coin, these things are happening at the same time. They be who separate themselves, sensual, meaning being led by their senses. Touch, taste, feel, see, hear. Having not the Spirit. And so I find that I'm not angry about that, because I understand now that anyone who is not born again, they have no idea of the realm that they're walking in. It's just normal to them, and we forget sometimes and try to cause them to live by our standards, but they can't. And neither could we without the Spirit. Sometimes people talk about the Holy Spirit in a way that they're a little bit, I don't want to say afraid of us, but a little bit back offish towards Spirit-filled believers, because they think that we talk about the Holy Spirit too much. But gosh, try living 10 minutes without him. It's pretty shallow, like shallow how. And he brings life to every aspect of our lives. But those without him, their life is rather limited to what they can do and what they can accomplish. But this one, and Lorraine, I have that book that Gary sent you about speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. I have that on my Kindle. I got it for $1, and boy, it's worth every penny. And I started reading it, and it is absolutely amazing. Building yourselves up, praying in the Spirit, by also realizing it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. So there's kind of like two things going on at the same time. And he reveals things to us through our prayer language. Our eyes are open to a whole new world. And to be built up, build yourselves up. There are people who, like Gary right now, Gary's hip is all healed up. He's doing much better. But just the simple fact that he stays plugged in. I come early, and he and I have communion together by phone. He gets his cracker and his juice out, you know. But you could hardly imagine what that 15 minutes means to him. And Andy, I talked to your mom yesterday, and she called me and told me about an old druggy friend of mine in Bellas Falls that showed up over where she lives now. We used to drive up 91 doing acid together on the interstate in snowstorms. And then he got saved, and he disappeared for a month. He went into the attic of his house, and somebody thought he died. They didn't see him for a month. He was just getting into it with the Lord, and the Lord delivered him out of all of the drugs, the alcohol, the riotous living in Bellas Falls. And he immediately began his journey filled with the Holy Spirit, and how much that changed, radically changed his life. He was one of the ones I was afraid of. Like Don, you know, when he got saved, I said, oh my man, I need to get away from these crazy people. And so here we're reading about those crazy people. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. I like that phrase, praying in the Holy Ghost. And here's an admonishment to us right here. Keep yourselves in the love of God. When we see what's going on around us, a former president that may be in jail before the end of the week, we don't know. Things aren't looking the greatest at this particular time politically, and I don't want to get into the politics much. But it's hard sometimes to maintain our love walk when you want to be so angry at what's going on that you can get all sucked into that and caught up in that, not even realizing, oh, am I walking in love towards that person? Do I have an attitude of love in my spirit towards others that are trying to wreak havoc in the kingdom of God? It's really hard sometimes to keep ourselves walking in love. How about with each other in our own households sometimes? You know, our mates are not just our husbands or our wives. They're our brothers and sisters. So that takes marriage to a whole new level. And so to us that are, this is a call to keep an accountability factor going. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That tells me that it's possible to get out of that. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If we, at those times when we're not walking in love, that's the time to be looking for mercy, because mercy will bring us back when we realize the mercy of the Lord that he showed us. And those things were given, and we have them now to show others. And they won't see them in the world, but they'll see those qualities in us. And some have compassion, making a difference. Compassion is a good quality to have as a believer, because making a difference, I don't know what difference I've made. Did you ever think about your life and ponder, have you made a difference in somebody else's life? And if so, what kind of a difference? Was it something that came and went really quickly? Was it something you said that they remembered? Was it something that actually turned their life around? Was it something that really meant something? Because we have that capacity in our lives. Others save with fear, a godly reverence. There are people we know, even right now, that aren't saved. And do we have that boldness to do something about their plight? I remember a few years ago when they were redoing the bridges over the river down in Bellas Falls at Rockingham, and there were times when whole big sections of that bridge were out. And I was wondering if I knew anybody wailing down the interstate, did they know the bridge was out? And would I tell them? They'd have time to know before they hit the water. That's a pretty high bridge. But you know, when you think about the people that we love that they're not yet saved, do we have that urgency about saying something that will make a difference in their lives? And maybe we might not be really good at presenting all the fullness of the gospel to somebody, but you can make a difference. And it may cause somebody not to drive off the bridge with it being out. I use things like that as parables because they're kind of right in your face. You know, things that a different way of looking at something, the urgency of the matter, pulling them out of the fire. I did experience that on a missions trip, tried to pull a woman out of a burning car, and she burned to death in the car because we couldn't get her out. I did manage to pull her husband out, but all the skin and flesh on his arm came off as I pulled him out of the car, but he lived. It was awful. And I remember the urgency of that moment. And sometimes, spiritually, we need to see the urgency of the moment. And so Jude, the words that the Holy Spirit gave him are very meaningful to me. But then, verse 24, this is so precious. And how much more we really need to count on these truths. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, that's a mouthful of blessing right there. Knowing, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and it's the blood of Jesus that made us faultless. You know, we have a habit of being our own worst critics at times. But truths like these stand out so strong in one sentence, and how confident we can live our faith lives out, to know that we have a God that watches our steps, and the Holy Spirit inside of us is our guide to warn us, to let us know, don't go there, you're close, don't do that, don't say that. But sometimes we do anyway. But to present us faultless, what a nice way to enter heaven, eh? Faultless. Because why? Because God sees us filtered through the blood of Jesus. That's what he sees in place of our faults. We all see each other's faults. We see our own. But he doesn't see us that way. He runs it by the blood filter. And we should do that too when we see others. Because then you'll get the true picture. People aren't always who they seem to be, for the good or for the bad, but God sees us the way we really are. And before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I remember being with a man at Dartmouth. In his last breath, he shouted, "Glory!" He yelled it in the hospital like that. And all the nurses and staff came running down the hall wondering what was happening in his room, because he had been in a coma for a long time. And he woke up just long enough to look at all of us in the room, and he just shouted, "Glory!" And he was gone into the presence of the Lord. And the glory he shouted is what he saw. And it was so... it's exhilarating to be with a person like that when they check out and go home. Oh, man, not everybody shouts and hollers, but he did. And I will never forget that day as long as I live. Just, he saw what we're going to see, but he saw it just before he left. And to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now, and I would even add forever, because he will be forever. Amen. So, we have something else happening just before Huggy Break. And Charlena, would you come up and share what you have for us? And I'll go over here and zip it.
So I thought maybe we could sing it. I could sing it, and then we could sing it together. Good idea. And my title of it is God's Favorite Song, but Marlene says he's the Mighty One of Israel. So, and the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and you shall have a song in the night. Come to the mountain of the Lord. See his glory and his might. He's the mighty one of Israel. The mighty one of Israel. His voice shall be heard in the power of his word. The mighty one of Israel. The eyes of the blind shall be opened and they'll see. The ears of the deaf shall hear. The lame man shall jump and shall leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The Lord shall cause his glorious beauty to be seen. The desert shall bloom and rejoice. Say to them that are fearful of heart, be strong and listen to his voice. Mighty one of Israel, the mighty one of Israel, his voice shall be heard in the power of his word, the mighty one of Israel. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and you shall have a song in the night. Come to the mountain of the Lord, see his glory and his might. He's the mighty one of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. His voice shall be heard in the power of his word, the mighty one of Israel. The eyes of the blind shall be opened and they'll see. The ears of the deaf shall hear. The lame man shall jump and shall leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The Lord shall cause his glorious beauty to be seen. The desert shall bloom and rejoice. Say to them that are fearful of heart, be strong and listen to his voice. He's the mighty one of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. His voice shall be heard in the power of his word, the mighty one of Israel. The eyes of the blind shall be opened and they'll see. The ears of the deaf shall hear. The lame man shall jump and shall leap as a hart. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The mighty one of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. Voice shall be heard in the power of the word, the mighty one of Israel.
Thank you, Faith. Is ready to go? Okay, super, super. Thank you.